If Chloe was a good reporter, he would be willing to face it. He knows that what he said is the truth. No one can deny it. Now, if Chloe is going to say, Paul, please don't take me there. Anonymous told you that. Paul would have said, forget it. I'm not going to write an epistle like I have written. I'm going to write in 1 Corinthians what I call a fierce letter. I mean, this epistle is really fierce if you look at it. In our Malaysian way, you know, it hantam the people, hantam the women, hantam about marriage, hantam about idol food, and it really corrects them. Now, if Paul is going to write such a letter, he is very honest. He says, Chloe told me this, and I'm dealing with it as I heard from Chloe, because I know Chloe is a very, very reliable, factual reporter. And these are church matters, and we as pastors, when you handle situations, remember this. Anyone who comes and make a report and wants to claim being anonymous and not willing to face the person, and if there are party involved, then they are giving you one side of the story. And we need to learn how to deal with that situation. Now, although it looks like a very fierce letter in 1 Corinthians, we need to understand here that while Paul was scolding them through this letter, I'd like to give a background here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, because it refers to 1 Corinthians. In case when you read this letter, it sounds very fierce. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, he says, For out of 2 Corinthians 2 verse 4, For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears. Understand that 1 Corinthians, which contained one of the most beautiful chapters in the entire Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, one of the greatest chapters and poetry of love ever expressed from an apostle's heart, is found in 1 Corinthians. It is because when Paul wrote it, you see, he was not writing it in anger. Correction should never be done in anger. When we correct, we see here in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, Galatians 6, verse 1, Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. There it is, a spirit of gentleness. So when Paul corrected, he was not correcting in anger or in reaction. He was correcting our heart that was grieved because this was his baby. It was his baby that he was talking about. So with that background, we look at 1 Corinthians, and many of us will expect 1 Corinthians, Paul will write, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, verse 2, I have heard about all your terrible problems, you bunch of turkeys and buzzards, backslided buzzards. We were expected that in verse 2. Instead, Paul said in verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you, how you're enriched. And he could still thank God for them. He was filled with thanksgiving. And he thanked God for the gifts that were in their life. He could still praise God for who they are. And then he gets to the point in verse 10. He says, Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, and he speak about the divisions that took place in verse 12. Now I say this, that each of you says, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas, that is Peter's name, or I'm of Christ. So the church was divided. After Paul left, Apollos came by and ministered there. Then Peter also came by and ministered there. And so the Corinthian church was like a very young church. When all these good speakers come in, they began to click themselves. And some of them say, well, you know, praise God for Apollos, he's a great speaker, but I prefer good old Paul. Give me that old time apostle. Right. And but some who are highly intellectual will be taken by Apollos. Oh, marvelous oratory. And then when Peter comes, they say, oh, what simplicity. And then some say, I don't know about you three groups, but we are with Jesus. So that was a mess going on there. And the great division because of their carnality. It's amazing how divisions can come because of people's personal preferences. Even today, there are different groups that continue to be divided even though former spiritual leaders have died. I'm talking in terms of among the churches and Christianity. And some are cultic, and some border on cult, like the Branhamite. William Branham was a good man. He was a prophet of God, but he went astray. Kenneth Hagin was another prophet. You see, prophets must subject to prophets. And Hagin, as a prophet, prophesied that he was going to be taken home early because he went into wrong teaching and error. And you can find that story of the prophecy that Hagin came and he gave to Gordon Lindsay, who was heading the team of ministers, in the book My Diary Secrets by Mrs. Gordon Lindsay. So I'll quote you facts. And so yet when he has died, many of his followers continue to espouse their wrong teaching. And the thing about it is that there are some good things to draw from his ministry. And a lot of good ministries, like even Gordon Lindsay himself and Christ for the Nation, they have removed the book out of circulation. I feel sad because the biography that Gordon Lindsay wrote was good. It's a man sent from God. It's about life of William Branham. A good book that our generation should learn about that ministry. But he did fell, and he did went into error. But even though he has died in the 1960s, still there are groups that go on and call themselves under a banner, and then different groups and different teaching. And it's sad. And we will look at, in the first section, in the first four chapters, Paul talks about this division. And then he gives keys how to deal with church division. Almost every one of us have experienced that to some degree, some lesser, some more. How do we handle it? What do we do in division? There are many types of division, and there are some divisions that there are divisions because of personality, some divisions because of doctrine, and divisions because of practices. But here the division is because of personality or because people favor different preachers. And as Paul was going to write an entire book or entire letter to deal with these problems, first of all, he tells us that we all need wisdom from above. In the first two chapters, he focused on wisdom. We need to draw God from God the wisdom. There is, I believe there is a necessity in training, in theological training. As I said, when we were doing our Bible school and looking to plan the curriculum, I sat down and prayed and said, Lord, if I had to do it all over again, what would be the areas that I would really need to train me for the ministry? And I shortlisted it to about seven areas. These are the seven. that we call them fields of study. Number one was what I call theological area. That when anyone is called by God and they go for training, they need to wrestle with theological doctrines like sanctification, justification, and predestination, and Arminianism, and Calvinism, to wrestle and think through. Because when you are graduated and you enter the ministry, there's not much time to do all those things. And that is an area that is lacking in some charismatic Bible schools that the evangelicals sometimes are strong at. Then another area is what I call, that first is theological or doctrinal. Another area is what I call historical. And that is where I believe it's important. Because there are a lot of things that are repeated in church history, mistakes of people that we could avoid if we could learn from the mistakes of the past. Then we don't have to repeat them. And one good history to study is Pentecostal history. Entire books on that. And tremendous area of history. And history includes biographies of men of God. We learn from their failures, we learn from their success, so that we don't make the same mistakes that they made. A third area is what I call relationship. You can be good at many things, but if you do not know simple things, like after you simple things like Christian etiquette and Christian ethics and protocol and relationship, how to work it out, and how more learning not what to do but how to do it. Things like when you're an evangelist, you travel to different places and you want doors to be open to you. After you enter a door, make sure you keep contact. Make sure when you leave that place, a simple thing like sending a thank you note or something can make a world of a difference for your ministry. It's a third area called relationship. Skills in human relationship to be successful in the ministry. And fourth area is what I call the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit Himself. It's an entire area that we have to learn, which a lot of charismatic short-term Bible school courses cover those areas. And fifth area is what I call biblical studies, which is knowledge of Hebrew, Greek, and Bible book study, and expository study, exegetical study, and all these areas that equip a student, which again the charismatics are very lacking. And they don't dig deep into the word. So they got the experience, but they cannot expound the word and explain the word from their spiritual perspectives. We don't have enough Pentecostal theologians. There are far too many evangelical theologians, and they are not able to expound what they have never experienced. And here we charismatics, we have experience, but we need to learn to think through our experience, study the word, and expound it. Biblical studies. And then sixth area is what I call faith teaching. Even though you don't like the term, you can't help it. Without faith, you can't please God. And without faith, you cannot succeed in the ministry. The principles of success and the principles of financial accountability and financial prosperity and principles of faith and all these are necessary. Without them, you could never believe God in the right way. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's an aspect of the move of God God has brought that we need to absorb in. You don't have to be park your car there. You don't have to remain there, but learn from all movements. And the seventh area is what I call practical ministry, learning to work under another man of God or under another ministry. So the practical side. To learn how to relate. And the reason I went into all those things is because when we look at church problems here, literally about 70% of the problems that have occurred today can be found in church history. Doctrinal issues and how a group starts, how a denomination is formed, different things that happen, how they deal with those situations, how in the early days the Pentecostal movement had to deal with what to do when people invented swimming pools and they invented swimsuits.